I want to speak to you this morning, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro. 2 Chronicles chapter 16. We are looking at one verse, and that's verse 9. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards him." Let's just read that part again. "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards him." The Lord has drawn me to this one verse in 2 Chronicles 6, verse 9. And he's been speaking to me very strongly, very intently, that the Lord wants to show himself strong in my life. And not only in my heart and life, but he wants to show himself strong in the lives of all his people that have truly embraced him. So, beloved, I come to you this morning to tell you in very simplistic way that the Lord wants to show himself strong in our lives. The Lord wants to do in and through our lives the things that only God can do. I can't help but think about the Old Testament. When you look in the Old Testament, you see that when God calls a man or a woman, he always calls them to a God-sized task. He never calls them to a man-sized task. He always calls them to a God-sized task. And whenever God's people walk in faith and obedience to the Lord, God does in and through their lives what only God can do. Moses could never part the Red Sea in his own strength and power. Only God could do that. Joshua could never cause the walls of Jericho to come tumbling down in his own strength and power. Only God could do that. David could never bring down a Goliath in his own strength. Only God could do that. Elijah could never, in his own strength and power, call down fire from heaven and bring revival to his people. Only God could do that. And because only God could do that, God alone received the glory. Now, I know there's probably someone in here this morning thinking, well, Pastor Tim, that sounds good, and we do see those powerful miracles in the Old Testament, but God doesn't do those kind of miracles today. He doesn't do miracles of that size and that all and that kind of capacity today. But, beloved, I have to say this in all humility. I strongly disagree with you. I totally disagree with you. God still does very powerful miracles, awesome miracles, through his people today. And I just want to give you two examples out of my own life of something that I have seen God do that only God can do that is very powerful. I remember a few years ago, the school here, our Bible school, went to Times Square Church to do a ministry there, to minister on a Tuesday night. And it was a very powerful time of ministry. The glory of the Lord came down and God really met people's hearts and lives. And I remember as we was loading up the bus, I was just standing outside as the students were getting on the bus, and a man approached me, and he said, "Pastor Tim, I just want to talk to you for a minute." And the man, he was a very professional-looking man, a very clean-cut man. He was a man that when you talked to him, you could tell that he was a man that had integrity of heart. And he would just begin to talk to me, and he said, "Some years ago, you came here and you preached at Times Square Church. And you preach the message about how God can change your life and God can transform your life. Doesn't matter what kind of pit, how hopeless that pit may be. If you just fully trust the Lord with your life, he can change your life. At that time when you preached that message, I was homeless out on the street. I was a drug addict and I was an alcoholic and I was about as low as a person can go. But that night I took your words to my heart and I made that altar call and I gave the Lord my life and the Lord began to do a good work. He changed me. He transformed me. Today," he said, "today I have a business. I have a wife. I have a family. The Lord is using my life very powerfully in ministry. And today I love the Lord more than I ever have loved the Lord. And Pastor Tim, I just wanted you to know that how God has used you in my life." I remember some years ago attending another church. I wasn't there to preach that night. I had preached there many years before. I had preached there. And I was just there that night just to sit under a service. And before the service started, another man approached me. And he said, "Pastor Tim, I just wanted to talk to you. And I needed to just tell you something. It's on my heart to really tell you." Some time ago, many years ago, you came to this church and you preached a message. And you talked about how not allowing your fears to captivate you and keep you from doing what you feel God is telling you in your heart that you need to do. You talked about that in spite of the fears trying to rise up in your life, obeying God, trusting the Lord, stepping out in faith and obeying what He's been speaking to your heart. And Pastor Tim, at that time, I really sensed the Lord was calling me to law school. I really sensed He was calling me into the law profession, but I had allowed fear to stop me. I have allowed fear to hinder me. But that night, I made the altar call, and I took your words to heart. And I want you to know today, I am a lawyer, and I am working in a law firm. And God, through my life, has raised up a testimony in my profession. I'm a very strong testimony and a witness to the Lord for in my profession to the people around me. And I just wanted to let you know, I just wanted to encourage you, Pastor Tim, that your ministry has made a very life-changing difference in my life. Brothers and sisters, what I'm simply trying to say is this, that when we're loving God and walking in obedience to the Lord, we have no idea who God is using our lives to touch, our lives to transform, our lives to change. And I want to say this, and I want you to hear me and hear me good, because it is on my heart. A greater miracle than the Red Sea parting, a greater miracle than the walls of Jericho tumbling down, a greater miracle than a giant falling at the feet of a little boy with a slingshot, a greater miracle than all that is when God uses our lives to instill faith in somebody's heart to fully trust and follow God and what God is doing in their life. Why do I say that? Because out of all the signs and wonders and miracles God performed, bringing His people out of the land of Egypt, they saw all these wonderful miracles, the plagues, they saw the fire from the sky, they saw God part the Red Sea, but yet they never came to a place of trust. They never came to a place of faith in the Lord. The Bible says they didn't enter into the promised land because of their unbelief. So I believe with all my heart, the greatest miracle, the most powerful miracle of all, is when God instills a faith in our heart to trust and follow and obey the Lord, fully trust and follow, obey what God is speaking to our hearts. That is the most powerful miracle of all. And when God uses our lives to instill that kind of faith into somebody, to trust God, follow God, wholly go after Lord and what He's speaking to your heart, God has used us in a miraculous ways that I think outshines the Red Sea crossing. I think outshines the walls of Jericho falling down, because there's a faith in someone's heart to trust God. He still does those kind of miracles, powerful miracles today through His people. The Lord desires to show Himself strong in His people. Now let's look at 2 Chronicles chapter 16 verse 9. And I just want to bring out a few things. The very first part of it says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth." And I really want to emphasize, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth." I want to emphasize the eyes of the Lord run to and fro. In other words, this tells me that God is very passionate about this. God is very adamant about this. God passionately, adamantly looking for a person and a people that He can show Himself strong through. He's passionately looking for a people that He can be glorified through. He's passionately looking for a people. He's passionately looking for a people that will allow Him to glorify His Son Christ Jesus through. In other words, this is what I'm saying. God is very passionate about your life. God is very passionate about my life. God is very passionate about showing Himself and revealing Himself strong through our lives. Listen, if you're sitting here wondering and worrying, will God use my life? I so want God to be glorified in my life. I so want God to reveal Himself through my life. Listen, you can stop worrying about that. If you really love the Lord and your heart is wholly given to the Lord, He is very passionate about your life and about what He wants to do in your life. And through your life. He's very passionate about it. Let's go on. It says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong." And I want to emphasize that word strong. I know I started off the message talking about how God wants to so show Himself strong through our life. But I think even more, He wants to show Himself strong in our life. I believe the greatest demonstration of God's power is when He changes our heart and our lives. I believe it's when God makes us into something that we could never make of ourselves in our own strength. Brothers and sisters, God wants to glorify Himself to you, and He wants to glorify Himself to me by doing something in our hearts that only God can do. He doesn't just want to glorify Himself to others through you. He wants to glorify Himself to you by doing something in my heart and your heart that only God can do. He goes on to say, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards Him." So who are the people that God shows Himself strong through? It's the peoples whose heart are perfect towards Him. So let's ask the question, well, what does it mean to have a heart that's perfect towards the Lord? Well, it doesn't mean that you do everything perfect. It doesn't mean that we always do everything perfect. To me, I simply believe that it means it's a heart that truly loves the Lord and is wholly given to the Lord. That the Lord isn't competing, that the Lord or the Lord's will isn't competing with anything in our lives. That He alone has the throne of our heart. And that doesn't mean that we don't struggle in the will of God as we're walking out the will of God. But it does mean that we, in time of need, we do receive the grace that we need to keep walking that path of faith and obedience because we love the Lord. I believe that's what it means to have a perfect heart towards the Lord. So, God is very passionate about your life and my life. He wants to show Himself strong. And He doesn't only want to be glorified to other people through us. He wants to glorify Himself in us by doing what only God can do. And it's in a people that just say, "Jesus, You're first place in my life. Not just in word and truth. You truly have the throne of my heart." Amen. Listen, if I sound very passionate about this morning, I am. I am. This is what the Lord's been speaking to me, and it very excites my heart, because nobody knows more than me my frailties and weaknesses and inabilities and mistakes and mess-ups. I know them very well. But at the same time, the Lord says, "I'm just looking for a heart that loves me, and you can't even begin to imagine how I can use your life and what I can do in your heart." I'm very passionate about it because it has so inspired my faith this morning. Now, beloved, here is what is really on my heart this morning. It's something we need to understand. This is a wonderful verse, but in the context of the Scripture, who is the Lord speaking to? In the context of this Scripture, who is He speaking to? He is speaking to a man who is in rebellion against God. He is speaking to a man that has so hardened his heart to God. Verse 9 is coming out of the mouth of a prophet who has come to reprove King Asa, who is king of Judah at this time. I want you to look with me at verse 7. Look with me at verse 7. Chapter 16, verse 7. Verse 7 says, "And at that time Hananiah the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, Because thou hast relied on the king of Syria, and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubans a huge host with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because thou didst rely on the Lord, He delivered them into thine hand. But yet because thou didst rely on the Lord, He delivered them into thine hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards Him. Herein thou hast done foolishly. Therefore, from thence thou shalt have wars." So the Lord is speaking this wonderful word promise to someone who has hardened their heart against the Lord. And I believe this is one of the things God is strongly saying to this man. He's saying to King Asa, "I want to show myself strong in and through your life. I want to strongly be revealed through your life. I want to be so glorified in and through you, but because your heart is hard against me, it is impossible. The great and miraculous things I so desire to accomplish through your life is impossible because you have hardened your heart against me." That's what the Lord is saying to this man. You've hardened your heart against me. So let's ask a question. Well, who is King Asa? Who is this man the Lord's speaking to? Well, there's two things that I want us to see about King Asa. First of all, he is a man that strongly resolved in his heart to be a seeker of God. This is a man that at one time resolved in his heart. He made a resolution in his heart. He was going to seek the face of God. Look with me at chapter 14, verses 1 through 4. Verse 1 says, "So Abijah slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. And Asa his son reigned in his stead. In his days the land was quiet 10 years. And Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. For he took away the altars of the strange god in the high places and broke down the images and cut down the groves. And he commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their father and to do the law and the commandments." So what I want to show you about King Asa is this man does not have a flaky walk with God. He is a man that has a very, very strong walk with God. He cut down the idols which can represent the idols of the heart. He's saying, there is no idol going to take my heart. My heart fully belongs to the Lord. At one time, if you go down and read the story, he actually removed his mother from off the throne from being queen because she was an idol worshiper. In other words, he made he took a very bizarre stand. People would look at that and say, isn't that being a little too bizarre? And he says, no, I've resolved in my heart to be a seeker of God. His walk is not a flaky walk with God. He has a very strong walk with the Lord. I also want us to notice about King Asa is he was a man that placed his dependency upon the Lord. And out of that place of dependency saw God conquer great enemies in his life that he was absolutely powerless over. Look with me at verse 9, chapter 14, verse 9. It says, "And there came out against them Zerah the Ethiopian with a host of 3,300 chariots and came unto Marishah. And Asa went out against him and they set the battle in array in the valley of Zephathath at Marishah. And Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God. Let no man prevail against thee. So the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled." So brothers and sisters, we see a man here that understands that his strength is not in himself. That if he had to face his enemies in his own strength, he was hopeless. And out of that place, he placed his entire dependency upon the Lord and trust upon the Lord. And out of that place of dependency, he saw God defeat enemies in his life that he knew he was absolutely powerless over. And I believe with all my heart, these are the kind of people that make hell tremble. These are the kind of people that make hell tremble. They are a people that realize that in themselves they are frail and they are weak and they are powerless in themselves. And so in absolute dependency, their focus and their trust is upon the Lord. And out of that place of dependency, God comes and he conquers and triumphs over absolute enemies that we are powerless over. And these are the kind of people that make hell tremble because they understand when God has this kind of heart, there's nothing that God can't do in and through their life. And hell trembles at these kind of people. So who was this man Asa? He was a man that had a very strong walk with God. He was a man that set his heart and resolved that he was going to be a seeker of God. And he was a man that walked in absolute dependence upon God. So where did he go wrong? So what happened to King Asa? How did this man that started off so well end up with a horribly hardened heart? I was really in prayer about this all week. God, I really need you to show me something. I really need an answer. I was in prayer about this all week. And last night, the Lord met me in the prayer closet. And he just absolutely opened up something to my heart. And I know this may not be the full reason why Asa's heart hardened before the Lord. But for many believers, it is the reason why many hearts harden before the Lord. And beloved, we really need to hear this. This isn't for people that are in compromise and indifferent and apathy. This is for seekers of God who've resolved in their heart to be obedient and go all the way with the Lord. In 2 Chronicles 16, You can turn there, but I really want you to hear my words. So turn there and then look up at me and hear me. In 2 Chronicles 16, the king of Israel, Baasha, comes against King Asa. And instead of turning to the Lord for his help, King Asa then turns to Ben-Hadad, the king of Assyria. The king of Syria, excuse me, not Assyria, the king of Syria. Now, the word Syria means, in its language, the word Syria means to be elevated, to be lofty. So in other words, it speaks to me of pride. Speaks to me of pride. Now, beloved, hear my heart. Hear me. I believe in every believer's heart, there is an element of pride. I believe that. Why? Because pride is so ingrained in the sin nature. But I also believe in every believer's life, there is a grace that is greater than pride. A grace that is more powerful than the pride that is in our hearts. And we do have the power within us to humble ourselves. We do have the power within us to open our heart and receive godly correction. And not just receive it, but then to walk out of that place and live it out. We do have the power within us. We do have the power within us to do what we know is right deep in our heart. Those things that we know are right deep in our heart, we do have the power to do that because of the grace of God. But yet many believers refuse to humble themselves when it means doing something that our pride hates. Many believers refuse to humble themselves when it means swallowing our pride and doing what we know is right. And when we do this over and over again, our hearts harden more and more, until we find ourselves in the woes of Asa, hard and bitter towards God and everyone. There may be someone here today. You are a lover of God. You are a seeker of God. But if you repeatedly find yourself allowing pride to harden your heart against doing something that you know is right, you will one day find yourself in the woes of Asa, hard and bitter toward the Lord and everyone else. You will. If there's an area in your heart where God keeps saying to you, you need to humble yourself, you need to humble yourself, you need to humble yourself, but we refuse to humble ourselves because it's going to hurt our pride and hurt it much, there will come a day that heart of ours will harden and we will find ourselves bitter at God and bitter at everyone else. Amen, Pastor Tim. That's good preaching. We will. But I want to show you the mercy of God toward this man, Asa. God's mercy on this man. Look with me at chapter 16, verse 12 and 13. It says, and Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet until his disease was exceeding great. Yet in his disease he sought not the Lord, but to the physicians. And Asa slept with his fathers and died in the 140th year of his reign. So we see by the scriptures that in his last part of his years, got a disease in his feet, and it became very great. And the Bible says that he didn't seek the Lord, he sought physicians. Now, I have heard people say, the reason why he didn't seek the Lord is because he didn't have faith. I've heard people use a scripture to try to say that, you know what, we shouldn't go to doctors, we should have faith in the Lord. I've heard them use a scripture for that. That is totally off. It's totally off. When you look at the context of the scripture, it's not because he didn't have faith. Here's what it is. The reason why he didn't seek the Lord is because he knew if he was going to seek the Lord, he was going to have to open his heart to truth again. If he was going to seek the Lord and have his healing, then he was going to one more time have to open his heart to the Lord. The mercy of God on this man's life is this. God afflicted him to hopefully bring him to that place where one more time he would open his heart to the truth of God and receive his healing. Not just for his feet, his relationship with God, his walk with God, what God wanted to do in his life. But you know what? His pride wouldn't let him. No, I know what God's asking me to do, but I will not humble myself. It's his pride. So here's my question. This is my question this morning. Is there anyone here today that has some sort of affliction in your life due to a hardened heart, due to blatant disobedience in your life, due to stubborn pride? You know, when I think about pride, I can't help but think about strife. Please hear me. When I think about pride, I cannot help but think about strife. Proverbs 13 says, only by pride cometh contention. Proverbs 28:25 says, he that is of a proud heart stirs up strife. So here is my question. Is there anyone here under the affliction of strife? Because deep in your heart, you know there is something you are not fully obeying the Lord in because of pride. Amen. Is there somebody here under the affliction of strife? Strife, the affliction of strife. Because deep in your heart, there's something going on you know you're not fully obeying the Lord in because of pride. Do you have strife in any relationships that you have with people? Or do you have strife in the many relationships you have with people? Is there strife between you and your family? Is there strife in your marriage? Is there strife between people you work with? Is there strife and resentment eating up your own heart? The Lord has allowed it because He wants you to grow so tired of it and what it's doing in your life, and finally humble yourself and open your heart to truth, to repent and do in your heart what you know is the right thing to do, what God is telling you to do. And when we do this, God will come and heal us. God will come and heal many of these relationships. He will put our life back in order, and one more time we'll walk in the blessing of God again. Is there strife eating up relationships in your life? And strife with everyone, or almost everyone. Because deep in our heart, we know there's an area we're not fully obeying God in. Because if we was to fully obey God, it would hurt our pride. God says, I'm not worried about your hurt pride. I'm worried about where it's going to take you if you don't listen and obey. You may think you're a great seeker of God, a great lover of God, walking in obedience to God. But if you allow that one area of pride to keep you on this path, you'll end up being bitter at me, bitter at everyone, at people, everyone. And finally, it'll be to your destruction. It's not my word, it's the Lord's word. So my question is, do you have strife in your life? Parts of your life. Not that people don't like you, but deep in your heart, you know, there's something the Lord's telling me to do, but my pride has not really allowed me to do it. Lord says, I'm not worried about your pride this morning. I want to show myself strong in your life. I want to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can think or imagine. But you have to humble yourself in this area. Because if you don't, it will have tragic consequences. It's not just a word for you, it's a word for me. This word came to my heart first, and then the Lord had me speak it. It is His word for us this morning. Stand with me.